Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Good morning, Calvary. It's so great to be back with you again, speaking on such an essential topic, your favorite and mine, the topic of worship. I want to thank Pastor Steve for the opportunity to share with you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Heather, and I'm one of the pastors here at Calvary. And I have now officially been involved in worship for 33 years. That's a long time, and I've learned a lot in that period of time about worship in general. And one of the things that I've learned is that it's best if I say less and let the Lord do more. And so I'm actually going to jump right into what I want to share with you today. So we've got more time to worship, even after the message and the context of this service time that we have together today. But in those decades of being involved in worship, there's one really important observation that I've made, and it's been the chance to see the results of a life that's dedicated to worship, the life of worship in leaders around me, in people I've worked with overseas, and in people that are serving in local churches here in our local cities. I've seen the fruit that comes from being a hungry person or a hungry people, people not content to sit on the fence when it comes to their faith, but to seek the Lord, to not satiate that hunger and that thirst that they feel or that emptiness that they feel with temporary things, but to pursue God, to know that He is the one and only source of that life abundant and that life eternal. And so here is what I have learned above all else in all of the contexts of worship that I have been involved in. And it is this: when we choose to engage in genuine worship, we are changed and impacted in the presence of God. When we observe worship, or even when we judge worship, we are not engaged in genuinely worshiping God, and we miss out on the opportunity that we have to encounter the living God and to be forever impacted and forever changed. And so today, I just want to touch on a few thoughts, a few scriptures that really break down the process of what we are doing when we gather together in worship. And I'm hoping that these truths and these scriptures will inspire us today to make that continual choice to engage in worship. Because here we find ourselves on the 1st of September. It's the beginning of a new month. For most of us, it's the beginning of a new season. And it's a great time to pause and reflect and actually reset. It's a great time to hear truth that will inspire us to move towards being maybe a little more hungry this season, seeking God a little more actively, and even really being that wholly dissatisfied type of people. Because in doing so, we are becoming a little bit more like Jesus. He was always pursuing and hungry for the presence and the voice of God the Father. He would intentionally set time aside to spend with God the Father. And he experienced that holy dissatisfaction with the culture all around him and what he saw all around him. He made a choice. There was a season in his life where his daily life became about making God known, about following his own calling and to accomplish what was set before him to do. So I truly believe, and I have actually experienced, that when we make that decision to engage in worship, we are impacted and we change. We do become more like Jesus. And that doesn't, it's not, I don't want to scare anybody off by using the word change, because some people don't like change. This is just a healthy and natural thing that happens when we're in the presence of God. You can't really encounter God and not be changed or not be impacted when you're growing closer to Him. When we make that change as individuals, we have an influence on those around us, often an influence that we don't take time to recognize. So when we change or are impacted as an individual, we impact our families and our workplaces and the environment in which we work in or go to school in. We can impact our small group or the team that we're serving with. And in turn, as individuals, as we change and grow and are impacted by the Lord and moved by the Holy Spirit, we really become a whole church that has, you know, changed and grown and reflects God's love even more. So, excuse me, one of the primary reasons that we include worship in our Sunday services and in as many gatherings as we can is because it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for every single one of us to engage in worship and to encounter God. So today, as I said, we're going to talk about the steps of what we walk through when we worship together here as a church. So when we engage in worship, we do these things. We extol God, we encounter God, and we emblazon God. Let me explain what I mean by all those things. So worship is where we as a people extol God. Extol simply means to praise highly, to glorify, to magnify, to sort of expand our view on. And it's mentioned in the Bible at least 25 times in reference to either what people are doing when they encounter God or what they should be doing when they encounter God. So let me explain actually a little bit further. One of the first mentions of this is in 1 Chronicles 16. This is where in the Ark of the Lord, so essentially the presence of the Lord, is being set in a tent or a space that's been made for him. And it says this in 1 Chronicles 16:4. It says, he, talking about King David, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord to extol, thank, and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. So David had chosen a group of people. He was prompted by God, but he chose a group of people, and their primary task at hand was going to be to extol and thank and praise the Lord. That was their job. That sounds like a great job to me. David then explained to them the why and the how they were going to be extolling the Lord. So if you read the entirety of the chapter of 1 Chronicles 16, you'll see over 28 verses David's teaching about extolling God. So when they are extolling God, they're doing the following. They are proclaiming his name and making him known. They are telling of his wonderful acts. They're looking to the Lord and seeking him. They're remembering what he has done, both the miracles and the judgments. They're declaring his greatness, his worthiness, his glory, his strength, and his holiness. And they're thanking him, and they're recognizing him as their salvation. Now, when you think about those things I've just mentioned, these are all things that are woven into the songs that we sing when we get together on a Sunday morning. We sing about his greatness. We proclaim his name. We express the things that he has done, the promises he's made, his worthiness, and our gratitude. We do all of that when we come together and we worship him. And the songs that we choose, this is my promise to you, will always have an extolling element as part of their content. So you can deduct from David's instructions in that chapter that when we extol the Lord, we're removing attention and focus from ourselves, and we're instead focusing on and paying attention to the Lord. This is a vital step in engaging in worship. This is keeping the Lord in his rightful place as King of your life, as Lord of your life, and is not making worship about us. For example, you can't thank someone for their help by talking about how you helped, right? You can't encourage somebody about their wisdom or their strength and their faith by talking about your wisdom and your strength and in your faith. And so it's very important that when we extol the Lord, we recognize we are doing something very intentional. We're taking the attention from ourselves, and we are expressing that he is greater than. He is the one that is holy. He is the one that is worthy. He is the one that is faithful. These times of worship, when we do this, they change us, they impact us, but they are in fact not about us. When we extol the Lord, it is all about him. And when we choose to engage in worship, when we make that choice that we're going to actively involve ourselves in worship, we recognize and express God's attributes and we extol him. And I want to tell you, he's not sitting up in heaven, you know, stagnantly receiving this worship. No, because he is so full of grace, the Bible says, because he is love, the Bible says, because he desires relationship with us, he moves in our worship. So as we worship him, he is actively moving amongst our worship. And that takes me to our second point. Worship is where we encounter God. I want to start with this scripture, Psalm 16:11. It's a favorite of mine, and it says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So let's come back to that in just a minute. When we enter a room, like the main auditorium at the church, and we gather with other believers, we really are stepping into a space and a period of time that is set aside for worship and the word. We're making ourselves available, essentially, to some type of experience that involves God. We can take that opportunity that worship provides to encounter the God that made it all happen, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, the one that created it all, the one that had a plan, the one that has a plan for you today. We can meet this God one-on-one in worship. Think about those that we have learned about in the Word that have encountered the Lord directly. Not one of them remained the same. And yes, for those of you that know your Word really well, there are people that encountered God or that met Jesus that chose not to make a change in their lives in that moment. But that encounter with God or that exchange with Jesus impacted them in the long time. So I will say that again. Those that have encountered the Lord directly, not one of them remained the same. There was something new and joyous in God's presence, just like Psalm 16 said. There's wholeness and direction there. And there are so many moments I would love to talk about today about those types of encounters, but I've chosen just a few to give you as examples. So let's start with Moses, as a lot of you will know Moses' story. I want to talk specifically about Moses, what's known as the story of Moses and the burning bush. So when Moses encountered the Lord in Exodus 3, he essentially went from being in hiding for murder, living a life under the radar, maybe some people would say a bit of an imposter, to being the deliverer of an entire enslaved nation. Was he perfect when he made these changes? No, absolutely not. But did he step into his life's actual purpose after he encountered God? Yes. Did he learn to depend on God and ask for help and direction and hear his voice? Absolutely, yes. And it is entirely possible, although the Lord may not set a shrub in your front yard on fire, it is entirely impossible to encounter God and to have the trajectory of your life change. Maybe there are things you're hiding from, like Moses, or things you don't really want to deal with or remember from your past. The Lord can connect with you in worship. He will not only show himself to you, he can change you, he can impact you, and he can use you to your fullest when you encounter him. Let's go to the Gospels and talk about Mary Magdalene. When Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus, she was delivered from 7 tormenting spirits. She became one of his most devoted followers. She was so present with Jesus and such a close follower of hers. Her name is actually mentioned more in the Gospels than some of the disciples. She absolutely experienced what Psalm 16:11 was talking about. And once again, I want to say it is entirely possible that when you encounter the Lord, you can be freed from something. A weight can be taken from you. Things that have been tormenting you can be removed from your life. The Lord might be waiting for you to just make yourself available, maybe in a moment of worship, so that he can remove some of that junk from your life and that you're able to walk more freely, walk out your devotion to him and experience that life abundant that he promises us. Lastly, let's think about our friend we call Paul, whose name was originally Saul. In the book of Acts, we meet him and he meets the Lord on the road to Damascus. When he had an encounter with the Lord, he went from being literally the world's most feared hater and persecutor of Jesus followers to becoming the world's most well-known defender and teacher of Jesus followers. In the midst of his transformation, he became known by a new name. He became known by Paul, and he ended up writing a good chunk of the New Testament that we continue to study and learn from today. And I want to suggest to you, it is entirely possible if you are open to the Lord and you're open to encountering him, even today, even here in a time of worship, he is more than able to significantly change your heart. To change your heart towards something, to change your heart towards someone, to change your heart towards maybe like Paul, a whole group of people, so that you can be effective in his kingdom, so that you don't have to live under the weight of what you're carrying. You know, Paul had no idea he was going to influence all the generations to come. Maybe there is something the Lord wants you to do that's a fraction of what we would consider Paul has accomplished that will influence generations to come just by letting go of some of that hate or distrust or whatever it is that you might be carrying in your heart. So I encourage you to consider it is possible and God is more than able. Okay, so that's great for the people that lived in the what we call biblical times. Those are pretty dramatic transformations. How do these types of changes or transformations happen during a time of worship? Well, there is an exchange between us and the Lord during times of worship. An exchange is just defined as an act of giving one thing and receiving something else. And that is a promise that the Lord has made over and over in His word to His people. An example, a scripture that you probably all know, Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So we come with our weariness and the weight of our burdens, and He brings us rest. In Acts 2, in verse 38, is really an exchange or a promise from the Lord. It's like the gospel in a synopsis. In Acts 2:38, it says, "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for your forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" This is a huge exchange. I bring the Lord me, just as I am, and He gives me all He has to give. His Son, His sacrifice, His righteousness, His guidance, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like, what? How is this possible? Well, I'll tell you, it's true. And in the same way, when we bring ourselves just as we are into a time of worship, when we surrender and hand over our junk, God responds with a beautiful exchange. We bring our repentance, He offers forgiveness. We bring our worry, He gives us a peace beyond our understanding, Philippians 4 says. We bring ashes and grief sometimes, and He brings us beauty and joy, Isaiah 61 says. We bring surrender, He offers grace and a future. We extol, He gives, and He loves, and He moves. Please understand, and this is important, I am not talking about a bartering system with the Lord or a life of works. God gives freely. I'm talking about a God that so longs for His people to connect with Him that He stands ready to exchange your junk for His life abundant. And this is why it's so important, excuse me, for us as individuals and as a whole group of believers to ignite that hunger and to choose to engage in worship. Again, not observe worship, not judge worship, but to bring ourselves into this exchange that is worship. That's where we experience the fullness of God and His presence. God the Father will minister His foundational, unchangeable love for you. Jesus will remind you of all that is available to you because of His sacrifice, His crucifixion, and His resurrection. The eternal life, the healing in, you know, today, the deliverance, the grace, all that He ministered on earth is available through Him now. The Holy Spirit will guide you and will comfort you. He'll teach you and remind you. And when you experience the presence of God, sometimes that feels tangible and it can be very powerful. And if you haven't ever experienced what you would describe as the tangible presence of God, I encourage you to just continue to spend time in times of worship, alone and with your church family, because these experiences are memorable. They can drop you to your knees. They can make you laugh out loud like a child. They can bring you an inexplicable peace or a fresh revelation of some of the truth in His word. There are so many things that God can do in those moments when you experience His tangible presence. I honestly believe that God gives us those moments, not just to minister something to us in that period of time, but also so that we will remember them. We will remember that we encountered the living God that day. Now, as we mature in our faith, we come to recognize more often the omnipresence of God. And so we learn to seek not after that kind of a feeling that the tangible presence of God brings, but to just seek after God Himself. We learn that that feeling of being surrounded by God does actually pass because it is a sense or a feeling, and that in truth, we walk in and with His presence all the time, whether we feel it or not. it's like maturing in any relationship, I suppose. Being with that special person at first is all like sunshine and lollipops and butterflies, but in time their presence can become more calming, more stabilizing, it's more trusted and more constant, and becomes a part of your daily life. It's important that we don't take their presence for granted or their love or care for us for granted, and it's completely okay to pursue special moments with special people. Those are memorable. But in a similar way, it's essential that we learn that God's presence, His love and care for us is with us in every moment, not just in those sort of holy goosebump type moments. We reflect back that Moses was presented with God's presence as a burning bush once. After that, Moses and God spoke directly and developed a relationship with one another. These tangible presence of God moments are irreplaceable, but we don't live to seek and know those moments. We live to seek and know God Himself in all the moments, as many moments as possible in our lives. And that takes us to our final point today. Worship is where we emblazon God. So we extol God, we recognize who He is and declare it. We encounter God, where there's often an exchange with Him, and then we emblazon God. Well, what on earth does that mean? Well, to emblazon something is to conspicuously display it. So if I'm wearing a Canucks jersey, I have the Canucks logo emblazoned on my shirt. Worship is a space and time in which we can emblazon God, like wearing His name on a jersey. We can shout His name, celebrate Him, dance, raise our hands in recognition of His greatness, and just generally make Him known. Because once you have encountered God and experienced Him in His fullness, when you've had an exchange with Him, you will want others to know about Him. You have that natural growing desire for those that you know and that you love, and even for those you don't know and don't yet love, to receive that grace and that peace that comes in that relationship with Him, and of course, eternal salvation. So your neighbors, workmates, classmates, everyone is influenced around you when you have extolled and encountered God and you emblazon Him to make Him known in worship. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2 says it like this: Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him, yes, sing His praises and tell everyone of His wonderful deeds. So, Calvary, in worship, when we choose to engage and we have an opportunity to encounter God, we extol Him and put Him in His rightful place. We often have an exchange with Him and are reminded of His presence. We are moved by Him, and we have a chance to emblazon Him so that others may hear and know. And this is the chance that's in front of us every single time. Every single time you put worship music on, every single time you come together as a family to worship or as a church family to worship. But it's always a choice. Just like we have a choice to become a Jesus follower, we have an ongoing choice to become a Jesus worshiper. And every time we enter that opportunity, we engage in worship, we have the opportunity, the door opens for us to encounter God and be impacted by Him, to allow that hunger to grow in us and to ultimately become more like Jesus. Once more, I want to read Psalm 16:11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. You'll fill me with joy in Your presence and with eternal pleasures at Your right hand." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You so much for this opportunity to be with my church family today. And I pray over all of us, Lord, that we would so hunger for Your presence, that we would be so thirsty, Lord, to seek You, to be in Your presence, and to be changed by You. That we would make the choice at every chance we get to engage in worshiping You, to lift up your name and extol you, to have an encounter with you, God, to let other people know about you. This is our heart's desire. And so I pray, Father, as we enter this new season, you would remind us by your Holy Spirit every time we come together to worship, to engage in that, to lift you up and to minister to you, Lord. Come and have your way amongst us. Even now, as we continue to worship you, Lord, I pray that whether someone's in their car or in their home or in the building, that you would move and show yourself to them. Change them, Lord, as they open themselves up to you. We just present ourselves as we are, and we know you will come and do what only you can do. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.